Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our monthly Rosh Chodesh here at the Young Israel of Woodmere, preparing for Chodesh Tammuz, which is just about upon us. This past Shabbos, of course, was Shabbos Mevarchim. It was very hard for me to prepare this year. It took me a very long time. Sometimes it goes faster, sometimes it goes slower. What you hear usually in 1 hour does not take an hour to prepare. But this year took longer than usual, and the reason was it was very hard for me to prepare because again Tammuz, again probably Av, again Mashiach's not here, again we have to mourn, again we have to fast, we didn't get the lesson yet called Dar Shalo Bana Biyamav Kilu Necho Biyamav. So again, so what could I say that we didn't say in the past years? What kind of divrei hisorus can we arouse ourselves with that we didn't say? And it was difficult for me to prepare this shir again. So let's look at the Mishnah at the top of your handout, please. What does the Mishnah teach us? The Maseches Tainis, Chamisha Dvarim Eru Es Avoseinu B'Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Shiva Asar B'Tammuz was the day that Moshe came down from the mountain with the first luchos, and the people are dancing around the Egel HaZahav, and he throws them down. That was the first Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. The Chamisha B'Tisha B'Av, and there were five things that happened on Tisha B'Av. The first one was in yesterday's Parsha, Parsha Shlach, V'Tisa Kol Eida, V'Yitnu Es Kolam, V'Yivku Am B'Layla Ahu, B'Midbar 14:1, and the Gemara says that the spies returned Erev Tisha B'Av Haya, and the night that the people cried was Tisha B'Av, and of course God said, you cried for no reason, Atem B'Chisim B'Chiyam V'Chiram, and don't we know about this Bechia Ledoro? So that's the original Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, and that's the original Tisha B'Av. B'Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, I'm back in the Mishnah, Nishtavru HaLuchos, that was the first Tisha B'Av, the Luchos were broken, Bata HaTamid, the Karban Tamid, ceased to be the offering on the first base of Mikdash, there were no more lamb, Huv Kahir, in the time of the second base of Mikdash, the city walls were breached, which is what we typically associate Shiva Asar B'Tammuz with, 3 weeks before the Churban, and the base of Mikdash was set on fire, the walls were breached, that's the most famous one. Sarf Apostamus as a Torah, I believe that there's some difference of opinion as to when Apostamus exactly lived, but the Sefer Torah burned, which was a foreshadowing of all the Sefer Torah that our enemies would burn throughout time. We know that the Nazis, we know that in the time of the Rishonim, in Rashi's time, it was very common to have book burnings, to take the Sefer Torah, to take the Talmud, to take the Torah Shebichtav, Torah Sheba'alpeh, and burn it in fire. Not only do they try and destroy us physically, and that's a representation of our physical enemies, but certainly they try to destroy us spiritually as well, to root out our attachment to Torah. Behemit Salam Behecha. And an idol was put up in the temple, in the sanctuary. B'tisha B'av Nigzal V'Seinu Shalei Kansu La'aretz. That's what I mentioned previously, that in this week's parasha, past week's parasha, Parsha Shlach, the forefathers were not going to enter into the desert. Charv Habayis B'Rishonu V'Shniyah. The house, the base of Mikdash, was set afire. V'nilkada, Beitar fell. V'nechmasha ha'ir, the city was plowed over. So it wasn't just that it was destroyed, but Sion sada secha resh. Sion was plowed over like a field. Mishenichnas av mima'atim b'simcha. And therefore, during this time period, when Av enters, we diminish our joy. The Pasuk tells us, and you know, I was reflecting, I added this introduction, quoting from Tehillim, actually after the shir was prepared. After the shir was prepared, I also reflect not only on the fact that it's Tammuz and Av, and it was hard for me to prepare the shir, like I mentioned, and it did take a long time, but I was also so moved by the passage of time. Not only was it hard for me to prepare, because what on earth could I say? I found something to say, you're going to learn it with me, Baruch Hashem, but is it Tammuz again? Is it Tammuz again? Where did the year go? How are we back here? How once again? What happened to the months? What happened to the winter? What happened to the fall? Where did, not in that order, where has the time gone? David HaMelech reflects on that. Ki alef shanim beinecha ki yom etma. 1,000 years in your eyes are just like yesterday. Ki yavor. Time, you know the expression, time flies. It's not just an expression. The time passes us by. Vashmua Balaila, it's just like a watch in the night. This is an excerpt from Kapitel Tzadi. It happens to be a kapitel that Bli Neder, I say every day, a very, very beautiful kapitel of Tehillim, but King David reflects upon the passage of time and the transition of years. Yemeshno Seinu Bahem Shivim Shana, maybe you get 70 years of Imbigvuras, and if you really are strong with increase, with Gvura, Shmonim Shana, long life, 80 years, how much time do we get? V'harbam ama v'avim, but we pride and toil and pain. Ki gaz chish v'neufa, it passes so quickly, and we fly away. Of ya'ofeif, we fly away. And again, this is a pretty lengthy kapitel. I just gave you a few psukim. If you want to see the whole kapitel inside, this isn't a Tehillim share this morning. You can look it up. Limnos yomeinu kein hoda. Teach us the number of our days. Teach us to appreciate the time of our days. You know, I just saw a geshma quote. Excuse me for saying this. Confucius, 2,000 years ago. What was he? A scholar of what? China. No, which? Was he Greek? What was he? Latin?
Chinese.
Not Greek, not Latin. Chinese. Confucius says, hey, if there's Chachma Numas Olam, you should learn from them. Everybody has two lives. The second one begins when you realize you only have one life. I think it's brilliant. I'm going to repeat it. He was Chinese, you said? Yeah. Confucius says, everyone has two lives. The second one begins when you realize you only have one. Limnos yomeinu kein hoda. Teach us the number of our days. V'naviv levav chachma. So I can acquire a heart of wisdom, my lev of chachma. What do I need to acquire? What am I doing here? The days just fly by. Maybe you get 70 years, says King David, which he did. Maybe you get 80 years if you really are blessed with Gevura. Teach me the number of my days. Shuva Hashem, how apropos for this time period of Tammuz into Av, into Elul. Shuva Hashem, Ad Masai, return to us, God, until when? V'hinachem alavdacha, we're coming up to Tisha B'Av, we say nachem in the afternoon. Nachem does not mean only, I think this might be the focus of my Tisha B'Av shir this year, but I'm not sure. I've mentioned that I'll be speaking here, it's very hard for me to say im yirtzeh Hashem, but if we have the Yom Avelis, I will be speaking here shortly after Chatzos shir, as I have in the past years, on Tisha B'Av. I think we might be doing nachem, but I'm not sure. Shuva Hashem ad masai v'nachem avdecha. Reconsider. It doesn't mean take comfort only. It means reconsider regarding your servants. Reconsider our exile. Reconsider the frailty of human life. Reconsider that we are weak human beings. Sabeinu b'boker chastecha. Satiate us in the morning with your kindness. Unaranana v'nismecha b'chol yameinu. Let us rejoice and be glad in all of our days. Samchenu kimos inisinu. Cause us to rejoice according to the days of our affliction, as difficult, as painful as our days was. That is how much rejoicing we shall have. Shanos ra'inu ra. As bad as it was, as the years upon which we saw evil, let us see simcha. And how we marvel this, what a beautiful kapitel of Tehillim, how evocative we marvel at the passage of time, and what is our purpose here? What shall we learn once again as we enter into Tammuz, as we enter into Av, and we all know that after Av comes Elul, the Elul Shul will be here. Ezra Sashem, August 12th, Sunday morning here, the Elul Shul is already marked. And it's not that I'm booked already into October, November, and December, but just saying, when Rav Shachar said, can we put down your Elul Shir for August 12th? I said, Elul? Limnos yomeinu kein hoda v'navi levav chachma im bidvuro shmonim shana. Everybody has two lives. The second begins when you understand and realize you only have one. Is it possible the redemption's not here? It's possible because it's not here. Do we not recall that the Beit HaMikdash lays in ruins? Do we not recall Hartzion Shashamim Shu'alim Hilchubo? Do we not see Tzion Sada Secharesh? I saw over the weekend 10 new fires were started in the south by kite terror, like the devil itself. They're so ingenious. They're so creative. They're so inventive. Who would think of such a thing? Tzion Sada Secharesh, over and over. Atem b'chisem b'chim shachinam. Okay, so ani kovei lecham b'chil adoros. How many reminders do we need? The Gemara tells us in Maseches Sanhedrin, Sadi Dalit, Amar Aleph, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. I'll tell you, we need to go back to your hand. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, not for a while. Met Melech HaMashiach in the marketplace. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Melech HaMashiach, I mentioned this in yesterday's shir, when are you coming? So Mashiach said, Hayom. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Hayom. So Melech HaMashiach said, Hayom im bikolo sishmu. I'm coming today if you listen to his voice. Comments the Rav on this piece of Gemara. We know the Geula depends on us. So what did I choose to focus on for this shir? Kol mechloka shehi l'shem shamayim, sofo lehitkayim, v'she'enu l'shem shamayim, ein sofo lehitkayim. Mishnah tells us very famously in Pirkei Avos that any machlokas that is for the sake of heaven, sofo lehitkayim, and the Mishnah says, which is sofo lehitkayim? Zohi machlokas Hillel v'shamay. Hillel and Shamay fought the battle, the mechamta shel Torah. They fought the battle, l'shem shamayim. L'chol mechloka she'enu l'shem shamayim, any machlokas that is not l'shem shamayim, ein sofo lehitkayim, it will not be upheld. Ezim machlokas she'enu l'shem shamayim. The Shem Shemaim is Hillel and Shammai. Eina L'Shem Shemaim, this coming week's parasha. Korach v'chol adoso. You want to know exactly what a machlokas is that is not L'Shem Shemaim, that's not for the sake of heaven, but rather for the sake of man's ego, for the sake of self-gratification, for the sake of self-aggrandizement. That is Korach and all of his assembly. Mordechai Kamenetsky tells over the following story in his parasha parables. The week following Pesach, 1985, I began serving my first palpa. It was a small shul in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The scent of herring juice permeated the building. The benches did not merely creak, they cracked as the davener swayed. As old as the furnishings were, the membership was even older, but the congregation's spirited tradition was much feistier than their physical appearance. During my first week there, it was Shabbos Mevarchim Iyar. And that's when the trouble began. Every Shabbos Av HaRachamim, we know after Kriyas HaTorah, before Asher and before Musaf, Av HaRachamim is recited the somber prayer that memorializes the martyrs during the era of the Crusades. However, on festive occasions, specifically Shabbos Mevarchim, it's a festive time, we omit Av HaRachamim. When it comes to Iyar, there's a machlokas. Do we say Av HaRachamim? It's somber, but it's Iyar, and we commemorate the deaths of Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 Talmidim. Or do we skip Av HaRachamim because Shabbos Mevarchim, different customs. I assume my new congregation recited Av HaRachamim, and I began to recite it. That's Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky. Immediately, I heard a shout, and a whole uproar began. We don't say Av HaRachamim. We just blessed the new month, the president announced. We do say it. It's Sfira. It's the time period of mourning. Rabbi Akiva's students died, said the vice president, as he yelled back. You know nothing, said the treasurer. We never, ever say Av HaRachamim when we bench Rosh Chodesh. And the Gabbai asserted, yes, we do, and we always did. The argument brewed for 5 minutes, says Rabbi Kamenetsky. They all began to smile, and then they stopped fighting, and they instructed me to say the prayer as I had planned. But before I continued the service, I sauntered over to the shamus, who was sitting quietly throughout the tumult, and I said to him, so what is the minhag of this shul? He pointed to the former combatants and he beamed. This shul is 100 years old. This is our minhag. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Yuma, a Gemara that's quoted all the time during these months of Tammuz and Av. Look on your handout. Mikdash Risho Mipnei Miacharav. Why was the first temple destroyed by the Babylonians? Mipnei Shlosha Dvarim Shahayubo. Because there were 3 cardinal sins that a person, a Jew, must never transgress, and he must give up his life. He called us the Yarug Val Yavars. However, during the time of Bais Rishon, we had problems with these 3, and they were Avodah Zarah, idolatry, Gilia, Arayos, adultery, or promiscuity, immorality, Veshvichus Damim, and bloodshed, or murder, Aval Mikta Sheni, and this is an unbelievable piece of Gemara, and you know, it's unfortunate, woe unto us, that we tend not to really know what the Gemara says. We know, everybody knows, practically everybody knows, including school children, that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the 3 cardinal sins that you should never transgress. And everybody knows, not almost everybody, everybody knows that the second temple was destroyed because of baseless hatred. Not everybody knows what comes between those two things, which is the next statement of the Gemara. By the way, I truncated this piece of Gemara for you. It's very lengthy. The Gemara brings you proof. How do you know for everything that it was transgressed during the time of the temple? It brings you proof from other psukim and other places. Aval mikta sheni, unbelievable, I should have underlined this for you. Shahayu oskim b'torah uba mitzvos v'gemilas chasadim. But in the second temple era, when the Romans, before the Romans destroyed the temple, they were very good people. They were osek in Torah. Don't we say every morning that God, we make the blessing in Birkas HaShachar, la'asok b'divrei Torah, to involve our lives. It should be like an asek. We should be living a life of Torah. They were osek in Torah. And in mitzvos. And in acts of gemilas chasadim. They had a lot of gemachs. You could name it, they had it. Mipnei Macharav, you would think that such a society would be destroyed. You would think such a time period would be worthy to have the temple taken from them. It sounds like a very upstanding society. They were Osik and Torah, Mitzvos, and Gemilas Chasadim. That's wonderful. Shahai Sebo Sinas Chidim. So the Gemara tells you because why they were. They were good Jews. But they didn't like each other. Rav Freifeld Zatzal says, Sinas Chinim, what Sinas Chinim? I don't like you. Why do you like me? I just don't like you. So you take two sides of the scale, and here you put Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayis, and Shfichas Damim, which nobody in this room, none of us would ever consider transgressing any of those things. Could imagine how much the scale would be weighed down, and you put on the other side, Sinas Chinim, so you should know, Shkula, Sinas Chinim, Keneged Shalosh Averis, the two sides of the scale would equal each other. Look at this. So the Gemara says, what? In the time of the first temple, there wasn't sin eschinim. It wasn't the primary sin, but was there sin eschinim? And the answer is yes. Elu b'nei adam sha'ochlin v'shosin zeh in zeh. These are people, there's such a comment on society, who could sit at the same table. And they eat and they drink at the simcha together. And then one person gets up and leaves the table and the two people sitting next to him start talking about that person who just got up. There's a nice piece of Lashon Hara you want to say. I don't know, something they said, something about their children, something that they did, something about what they're wearing. I don't know. Ochlin v'shosin zeim zeh. You're sitting mamish at the table. One person gets up. V'dokrin zeh zeh b'charvot shebelishonam. They spear each other with the swords of their tongues. So you could sit and you could eat and you could drink and you have a nice face when the person sits there and then the person gets up and you're stabbing them with the swords of your tongue. So during Tammuz and Av, we remember, or we should remember, the sin of egotism, the sin of it's all about me, the sin of I'm right, and if I'm right, you can also be right. The sin of sinat chinam, baseless hatred. Why don't you like the other Jew? I don't know, says Rav Freifeld. I just don't like you. Is there a reason? Did I do something? Stam, I don't see eye to eye. We don't agree. Hashkafically, we're different. Dress, we're different. Shul, we're different. Kehila, we're different. School, we're different. So everything's so different. So I just don't like you. And it also stems from a sense of ego, and we have to understand that. If I'm right, you can also be right. If my way is the right way, your way is the wrong way. Baseless hatred stems from a sense of I'm right. Do you understand that? And if I'm right, you must be wrong. So I don't like you. And the classic example of machlokas, we already quoted the Mishnah, is the machlokas of Korach. It's this week's parasha. This is not a text-based shiur. If you want to see the Chumash inside, you're more than welcome to, but I'm just going to be paraphrasing what happened during this machlokas of Korach coming up to this week's parasha. We go from Shlach, the rebellion against God in the land, to Parashas Korach, the rebellion against the leadership of Moshe and Aaron. Korach was a cousin of Moshe and Aaron, and Rashi right in the beginning of the parasha tells us this. He was very insulted. He felt he should have gedula. How could you take all the gedula yourself? If I'm right, you can't be right. It's my way or the highway. And if it's not my way, then I have a right to start a fight, to start a coup. So Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kahas ben Levi, Yaakov begged that his name should not be added onto this machlokas. The yichus of Korach ends with Levi, and he is not miyaches b'shem Yaakov Avinu, v'dasan v'aviram b'nei Aliyah. They're from the tribe of Reuven. Rashi says, either Rashi v'either Shcheino. They camped next to Korach, Reuven, and therefore they see the bad things going on here. Chazal also tells, harcheik mishachein ra, stay away from a bad neighbor. So they become embroiled in machlokas. Of course, there's a deeper reason here as well, and that is that Reuven also felt slighted. Reuven was the Bechar. Bechar was really supposed to get the kuhuna. They lost. Reuben all lost all rights. He's a very fascinating, very weak biblical personality. He lost all rights. Things were taken away from him. He couldn't stand up for Yosef. He switched his father's bed. The Bechor sinned by Egozav. So he lost the right to Gedulah. So he also has a little bit of a personal agenda here. Why? He was also slighted. Just like Korach feels that he's slighted to all his cousins, so too Reuben feels he's slighted. So he gets, Korach doesn't only get himself, but he gets Dathan and Aviram from the tribe of Reuben and Own Ben Palas and 250 prominent men. And they come to Moshe and Aaron and they say, Rav Lachem, what, isn't it enough for you? Kol Ha'eda Kulam Kedoshim. Who do you think you are? Why do you pride yourselves over the congregation of God? Korach also wants Gedulah. Of course, if you know how hypocritical his machlokas really is, Kulam Kedoshim. But who is he fighting for, the people or for himself? He was really fighting for himself. Once again, Kina Taiva Vakavod, again quoting Chazan Pirkei Avos, Kina Taiva Vakavod, Motzin Es HaAdam Min HaOlam. It is jealousy, Kina Taiva, desire and the quest for honor that remove a person from this world. He pretends that he's fighting for the people, like any good politician. But who is he really fighting for? What's best for? Korach. And this is what fuels the terrible machlokas of Korach, and they gather against Moshe and Aaron. Everybody's holy. Moshe falls on his face, and in the morning Moshe says, God will let known who is the one who's chosen. Everyone's going to take fire pens. All the people in this machlokas will take fire pens and put upon a ketoris, some fire. You're going to stand before God. Let's see who God chooses. Skipping a little bit. This isn't a precious year. And Moshe tries to negotiate. And Ish Emes tries to negotiate. Moshe's not in this for Moshe. Moshe's in this for God. Moshe tries to negotiate. So he calls to Dathan and Aviram. They don't even have any interest in this, really. Who's Korach writing for? Korach. And he calls to Dathan and Aviram. And he calls them to come up. I want to talk to you. Let's have a meeting. Lo na'ala. We're not coming up. Isn't it enough that you took us out of a land of Zavas Chalvudvash? Dathan and Aviram from the tribe of Reuben say, how ironic. You brought us out of a land flowing with milk and honey. They're talking about Egypt to put us to death in the desert and you pride yourself over it. We're not coming to you. We're not talking to you. You didn't bring us to a land flowing with milk and honey. You didn't give us a portion in a field or a vineyard. If you gouge out these people's eyes, and they're talking about themselves, we're not coming up. How extreme were Dathan and Aviram here? Even if you gouge out our eyes, we're not having anything to do with you. This distressed Moshe very, very much. God said, Hashem, don't turn to their mincha. Okay, what's the end? What happens? What happens to Korach and his assembly and everyone embroiled in the machlokas and their families and their children and their wife? The ground opens up and they are swallowed alive and the people are freaking out and everybody's going to be destroyed. And look what happened here. Eze machlokas she'enu l'shem shemayim zohi machlokas korach v'kol adasod. And it's something we've pointed out in the past in different shirim, I don't know, here in other venues, but there's no two sides here. Hillel and Shammai are two different sides. There are machlokas l'shem shemayim. Korach v'kol adasod is one side. There, do you understand? Machlokas doesn't only lead to external strife, but internal strife. It's each man for himself. What am I saying? Machlokas l'shem shemayim has party A and party B. Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Machlokas she'enu l'shem shemayim has who? Moshe and Aaron weren't in the machlokas here. Korach v'chol adaso. That's only party A. Who's party B? There is no party B. They're really fighting with their very own selves. Each man to himself. And unfortunately, very sadly, a person who lives a life of machlokas is really fighting himself. And it's true. And if you know of any such matzav, person who is consumed by machlokas, it's true. They're really fighting their very own selves. The other people that they're trying to fight with when it's shalol l'shem shemayim are not even interested. Not even interested. I have better things to do with my life. That's the prototype of all machlokas. She'enu l'shem shemayim korach v'kol adaso. In regard to Dathan and Aviram from the tribe of Reuven, what are they getting involved for? We gave a couple of reasons. One, their neighbors. Two, Reuven sort of also had a personal vendetta here against what they see as the tribe of Levi who took Kohuna and Leviah from them, right? The Bechor is supposed to get Pishnaim. The Bechor is supposed to get the rights. Reuven is supposed to get the rights. Reuven lost the rights. So he's a little bit upset also. In regard to Dasan and Aviram of Shamshur, Fal Hirsch says they blamed Moshe for their inability to enter into the promised land. And they cast out. What did they say? You took us out of a land of Zavas Chavudvash to put us to death in the desert. You didn't bring us to a land of Zavas Chavudvash. You didn't give us a Sada. You didn't give us a Kerem. You gave us nothing but death in this desert. Keep in mind, this is after the disaster of Parsha Shlach. Rav Hirsch points out, they realize now this was their chance. Why Dafka now? Why did they wait till this point? Moshe was appointed a long time ago. Aaron also got the kahuna previously, a year ago. It's not now. Why did they wait? Because they realize now this is the moment of Moshe's weakness. He was brought down by the sin of the spies. The people already are not so happy. Everybody knows they're not going in, last week's parsha. And they realize this is such an opportune time to try and rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu. They presented Moshe as the unscrupulous deceiver of his people. Come and embroiled in Machokas changes the truth. And they accused him of pursuing power and base tyranny. In their view, Moshe's mission was low deceit. They denied he was sent by God. They denied the special relationship he had with God, which was a fact through his mission. They're trying to undermine the whole Moshe MS, Viso Raso MS. They declared the whole basis of Torah, the sanctuary, all the korbanos were null and void. There was no meaning anymore to the testimony of Moshe. There's no meaning to the offerings. There's no meaning to the sanctuary. There's no meaning to Torah. Dasham and Aviram came to undermine Moshe's entire life mission. It was Eved Hashem, and they denied this. Fascinating that they say, Im eine anashim ha'ela tinaker lo na'ale. Even if you gouge out our eyes, they say it as if they're talking about somebody else, says Rashi, but they're really talking about themselves. Even if you gouge out our eyes, we will not ascend. And Mordechai Kamenetsky has a beautiful and very powerful, impactful commentary on the fact that they say, even if you gouge out, meaning our own eyes, we won't ascend. Moshe wanted to deal with them. He's the leader of 2 million people. He couldn't ignore a few rabble-rousers. Rabble-rousers or rabble-rousers? Rousers. He couldn't ignore a few rabble-rousers. Think about how many people we're talking about. 250 people, Korach, Dasan, and Aviram. We're going to talk about Om and Palace soon, Bali Nader. So you're talking about, what, 253, maybe 254 people. There's 2 million people in the nation. And yet Moshe wanted to negotiate with them. He reached out to Dasan and Aviram. He said, come to me. Let's discuss it. Please come. His request was met with a barrage of insults to the point where, and we looked at the insults already, even if you gouge out our eyes, we will not ascend. And Rabbi Kamenetsky, Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky says, I was always amazed by this most arrogant response. These men were stubborn. We spoke already, the fuel for Machlokas is ego. And we see that here. Korach v'chol adaso. Each person is fighting for himself. I saw once another tremendous quote. I don't know who said it. Pride is concerned with who. Pride is concerned with who is right. Humility is concerned with what is right. I'll repeat it. Pride is concerned with who is right. Humility is concerned with what is right. I was always amazed by these people. Why would they respond, says Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky, in such a self-harmful fashion? Why do they even suggest, even if you gouge out our eyes, who would suggest that? Couldn't they just say, we're not coming? What connection does the loss of vision have to do with their refusal? They're specifically talking about gouging out their eyes. Dasan and Aviram are the proverbial rabble-rousers of all time. You understand? They are the troublemakers who represent all machlokas. And he says they are shedding profound insight into the laws of arrogance. I'm going to quote his next statement without trying to interrupt him. When one is set on fulfilling a mission of squabbling, as corrupt and as perverted he may be, so is his vision. When man is embroiled in a senseless machlokas, he is blind to the critics, blind to the world, and worst of all, blind to his very own self. I will repeat it. When man is embroiled in a machlokas, when he is squabbling, when he is of supreme arrogance, when it's his way or the highway, when there is only korach v'chol adaso and there's no party B because no one's interested in the machlokas except for the person, Rachmana Litzlan, who's stoking the flames of fire, his vision is perverted and corrupt as well. That's why the Torah specifically uses the lashon about Eine ha'anashim ha'ela tindakir lo na'ala. He is blind to the critics, blind to the world, but worst of all, blind to his very own self. And once man is blind, you can gouge out his eyes and he won't even notice. When a person becomes so deeply entrenched with a corrupt and a perverted and a twisted and an arrogant, and it's my way is right and your way is wrong, hashkafa, he can never see the truth. Pun intended, he can never see the truth. To the point where even if he would gouge out his eyes, his vision will still remain blinded. Only those with a pure sense of mission, says our Mordechai Kamenetsky, possess the vision to see a situation from every aspect, even when it's different from them. And this is very, very difficult, by the way. It's very difficult when you are convinced that you are right in any situation to see the other side. It's also one of the roots of Machlokas, which once again stems from ego. It all goes back to, I must be right. It's so difficult to see that there is another side here. If my hashkafa is right, how could your hashkafa be right? If my kippah is right, how could your kippah be right? If my Beit Knesset does it the right nusach, how could your nusach be the right way? Moshe asked to meet his own worst enemies, to see their point of view. His myopic, nearsighted enemies, however, would rather be blinded. But for a little principle, it seems, it's all worth it. Korach and his men were fueled by kina, taiva, and kavod. It was their way or the highway. And when it's your way or the highway, there is really no regard for emes. There's no regard for truth. You know, I think it's so much worse. You know from learning with me that I try hard to follow the news, the Israel news. I think that it's very important to know the matzav in Eretz Yisrael, to daven for Achinu Bnei Yisrael, to support them in whatever way we can, to keep up with the times, Imo Anochi Betzara. Why did God appear in a thorn bush? He could have appeared in any other bush, so it's so famous. He was in a thorn bush, Imo Anochi Betzara. When the people are in pain, Kaviyacha, when the people are in pain, the Ribbono Sha'olam is in pain. We learn from the Malami Torah Lo Amo Yisrael, when a Jew is in pain, I have to be in pain. And I follow the Israel news, you know that. And it's one thing when I open the website, whether it's a Rushava, primarily Ynet News usually has some good pieces. It's one thing if you see kite terror and fighting with the enemy, that's bad. But when the news is about Jews who are fighting with Jews, it's so, yeah, your heart, correct. It's much worse. Halacha b'yadua she'esov son of Yaakov. When Esov and Yaakov meet, v'yishakeyu, and he kissed him, and there's dots over, he hugged him, and he kissed him, because Rashi tells us there, he didn't really kiss him when Esov and Yaakov met after 22 years. He doesn't really love him. At that moment, his compassion was around. But in general, halacha b'yadua she'esov son of Yaakov. It's something that we expect. It's something that we know. It's something that our lives as Jews prepare us for. I'm not saying it's not painful. It's tragically difficult. But when it's self-inflicted, machlokas, it's much worse. When you turn on the news, whether it's last week or other weeks, and there's demonstrations, and you see Jews fighting against Jews, it's so much worse. It's so much worse. Moshe, the man of Emes, cared about one thing. Can we reconcile? Is there reconciliation? If we're brothers, can we get it together? He didn't care about Moshe's honor, Moshe's rule, Moshe's leadership, Moshe's Torah. He cared about Hashem's Torah, Hashem's rulership, Hashem's people. There was no other side, because in the other side, each man cared about himself. Ahavas chinam, and striving for shalom, perhaps, I don't know, if God's Melech HaMashiach is coming, Hayom im b'kol tishmu, and if the Kal Gadol v'Torah is v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, and we can't get it together, so when is Mashiach ever going to come? It's sort of a rhetorical question. So the Gemara says, if we don't ever get it together, it's just going to come, either be'ita or achishana. It might come in its time, it might come before its time, but maybe we're just going to be redeemed, because we're going to be so to the point where we're almost lost by internal strife, that Hashem will say, well, if they can't do it on their own, I'm just going to have to save them. Ahava Shechinah and striving for Shalom is the only way that we will rebuild the Chorban. And it's something that unfortunately seems to still elude us and something that seems to still evade us. And how can we be worthy, I wrote in my notes, that the Shechinah should be our Shachain once again if we can't even be the Shachain of our own fellow Jew? How are we worthy that the Shechinah, root word, Shachain, should be once again our neighbor? Salvechik says so beautifully, the whole essence of Asuli Mikdash v'Shachanti, once again, Shechinah, Shachain, B'Socham, is that God lives at 12 Harabayas, I live at 13 Harabayas, so to speak, and we are on very good terms. But how can we ask God to move back into 12 Harabayas so we can move into 13 Harabayas if I can't even live next to my very own Jew? Moshe was fighting for the MS of Torah, and Korach and Dasan and Aviram were fighting for the MS of Korach and Dasan and Aviram. And Machlokas she'eino l'shem shamayim. Machlokas, vatiftach ha'aretz es piha, the land opened her mouth, vativla osam, they were destroyed, ve'es batehem, their homes were destroyed. Homes is also a euphemism for wife and family. Ve'es kol ha'adam asher l'korach, everyone who was embroiled in the machlokas, ve'es kol ha'rechush, everything is destroyed. See the dangers of baseless hatred, and see the danger of machlokas, sins of the tongue, quarrel and strife. Charvot she'bilishonam, says the Gemara. In the time of Bais Rishon, was there not also sin as chinam? There was. The primary sin was the three agval yavars that we are forbidden to transgress. But you should know, they would sit and eat and drink together at the simcha, and then one guy would get up and everybody would start talking about him. It destroys man himself, his family along with him, all of his possessions. It destroys our nation and it overturns our land. How much distance must we place between ourselves and strife? So if you look at what the Gemara says in Maseches Sanhedrin, it's unbelievable. The bottom of page one. Right. This isn't like some good piece of advice. The Chafetz Chaim would run from Machlokas as if fleeing from fire. This is not just some piece of advice. The Gemara actually teaches them in the bottom of page one. Vayakam Moshe vayelech al dasam v'aviram. We spoke about that a little bit. Moshe, the man of MS, wants to make peace with his enemies. He sees no need for strife because he's not fighting Moshe's battle. Whose battle is he fighting? The battle of God. In the battle of God, you have to make peace. You have to put your ego aside. Vayakam Moshe, and Moshe certainly had no ego. We're coming away from Baal Oscha 2 weeks ago. Vayish Moshe 12:3. Vayish Moshe anav me'od mikal adam asher al pnei adam. People spoke lashon hara about him. He was insulted. People are saying, how could you be the king? He wasn't insulted. He's only a kanal l'shem shamayim. It's so hard. It's almost impossible to be totally l'shem shamayim for us on our level. We are jaded by our own experiences. We are subjective. Vayakam Moshe vayelech adasam v'aviram. Amar Reish Lakish mikan she'ein machzikim b'machlokas. From here you learn from Moshe and Aaron trying to have a discussion with Dasan Aviram. Listen, you're from Ben Ruvain. Why are you even becoming involved in this? If this is a machlokas of the tribe of Levi, you shouldn't be involved in this. Let me talk to you. Can we work it out? So Reish Lakish says, we learn from Moshe that you should not be machzik the machlokas. Furthermore, the Amar Rav called machzik b'machlokas over belav. Look at that. There's a mitzvah lo ta'aseh, not to become embroiled in machlokas. And one who becomes embroiled in machlokas is over a lav d'oraisa. It's a d'oraisa that you may not transgress. I don't like to use the word negative commandments. There are no negative commandments. It's a, someone gave me a great prohibitive. Who told me that after Parsha class a few weeks ago? She's not here. Prohibitive. There is a prohibition to Oraisa not to be embroiled in Machlokas. What's the proof for that? So if you would look in Bamidbar, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Hey, the Pasuk says, V'lo yeh k'korach v'ka'adasho, you shall not be like Korach and his Eder. Remember we said that the Mishnah says, what is Machlokas she'einu l'shem shemayim zoi Machlokas Korach v'chol adasho. So to be like Korach and his Eder, you're actually over a lav. Imagine that. Imagine the power of strife. There is a mitzvah d'oraisa, a prohibition, not to have a fight, not to have a quarrel. And now I want to talk about Ohm Ben Pallas a little bit. And what happened to him? And it's very famous, and I'm sure some of you have heard what happened to Om Ben Pels, but as women, we have a certain koach. Maseches Nida, 45b, Bina Yisera, Vayivin Hashem Elokim Esatzela, only in regard to woman and creation. I'm talking about the first Isha, does it use this unusual term? When the first man was created, we can't even talk about him, for sure not now, and it's beyond the scope of our understanding, but in 127, Bereishis Perak Al Pasuch of Zayin, there is some formation of man, woman together, that did not exist, continue to be. That's Vayivra Hashem Elokim Es Adam. Hashem is Borei, the first man, in some fashion that we can't exactly understand. Bereishis 2:7, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim Es Adam. First man is a Borei. First God is a Borei of this first form of a person, 127.
Combination.
A what?
Combination.
A combination. It was a prototype. Something happened to that first being. It was man and woman together. It didn't exist. That it didn't continue to exist. Then 2:7, Vayivra. Oh, Hashem. 127, Vayivra Hashem Elokim Es HaAdam. Mitzav Elokim. Okay? 127, God is a Borei to man. 2:7, God is a Yotzer. He refashions that first being into Adam. But then when it comes to when it comes to Isha, at the end of Perek Beis, it says something different. That's Vayivin Hashem Elokim. And Hashem Elokim Vayiven, what's the root word? He built, min hatzela shalakach, he fashioned this woman from the side. But it's the root word Beit Nun, which is the root word for Bina also. So the Gemara says in Maseches Nida, Bina yiseirat nasna, the isha yoser mi be'ish. How do you know? Because when she was created, it says, not vayivra, not vayitzer, but Vayivain. So not only did God build her, like Livnot, but also he infused within her this sense of Bina Yisera. So the Gemara tells us a beautiful piece of Gemara. A lot of it is in Aramaic, so I need the English for Aramaic often times. Okay? But it's on your hand. And also we're running out of time, so we're not going to be able to go through, turn over the page, the lashon of the whole piece of Gemara as I wanted. As usual, I prepare too much. I told you I wasn't having trouble preparing. Now I'm telling you, I'm skipping. Okay. The story of how Om Ben Pelas was saved. How is Om Ben Pelas saved? Amar Rav, top of page 2. Om Ben Pelas, very famous. Ishto Hitzalto. You should know. Okay, what's the problem? Not a problem. But what's the kasha of the Gemara? In the beginning of Parshas Korach, it says, Korach took and Dasan and Aviram, B'nai Aliv, and Om Ben Pelas from the tribe of Reuben, and 250 men, Nesia Ada. And then when everybody's being swallowed up, there's no mention of Om Ben Pelas. So he's mentioned in the beginning of the parasha, and then he's not mentioned anymore. So the Gemara asks the Karsha, what happens to Om Ben Pelas? He just disappeared. He did, in a sense. Om Ben Pelas, Ishto Hitzalto, Armele, Ma'i Nafka Lach Mina. What are you gaining from this? Ima Rabba Antalmida. If this one wins and is the rabbi, meaning Moshe, you're the student. Ima Rabba Antalmida. If Korach ends up winning, what are you? Also the student. What does she show him? What's the point of this machokas? You have zero to gain. Korach's not fighting for the people. Korach's fighting for Korach. So he said to her, my Eved, what should I do? Have I be'etza? I was with them in the Eitza, in the idea. V'ishtabili, excuse me, behadiyuhi. I swore I would take part in the rebellion. So she says, I know that the whole assembly, dekula kinishta, that means the whole assembly, kadishta ninhu, they are holy. Look what she says, she still believes in the holiness of Knesset Israel. All these people are holy, as the Pasuk says, kala eda kulam kadoshim. So she says, I'm going to save you. Tuv da'ana matzil nalach. Some of this we can understand. I'm going to be matzil lacha. I'ash kise chamara lahashkot, and chamar, to give him to drink, and chamar is hard wine. Okay? She gives him to drink hard alcohol, hard wine. The arvise, he became drunk. The agnise gave, she put him to bed inside the tent. What did she do? She sits and she goes at the entrance to her tent. She lets down her hair, and they come to get Korach. They come to get Om Ben Pelas, but nobody's willing to enter the tent, because here's this woman who's not sitting in a state of tznius, and everybody is, kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim, they still have a sensitivity to kedusha, so no one is willing to enter the tent. In the meantime, when he's passed out drunk in the back of a tent, because of the ingenuity of his wife, what happens? Everybody swallowed up, and who's saved? Om Ben Pelas. So the Gemara says, you should know that that's why there's no mention of Om Ben Pelas. Who saved him? The Bina Yaseira Shanasna the Isha Yoser Mi Beish saved Om Ben Pelas. She said, you can't get out of it. You signed on the dotted line. You don't know what to do. I know what to do. And then the Gemara contrasts this with the wife, unfortunately, of Korach. And when you go through this piece of Gemara, in fact, she's the one who is behind Korach. She egged him on. She says, don't you want to do it for yourself? Look what Moshe's doing. He made himself the Kaha. He made himself the king, Malkah, and his brother is the Kahana Rabba, the Kohen Gadol, and his brother's sons are Sagan Kohen, deputy of the priest, and you're nothing. You're a Levi, and he embarrassed you, and he shaved your whole body. Part of the induction of the Levium was that their bodies were shaved. He shaved your whole body, and Koch even tried to answer his wife, and he says to his wife, but he shaved his body too. He's also a Levi, and she says he's willing to go down if it means your embarrassment. He doesn't even care, and she egged him on. Look at the power, and I'm pointing out this is very important, the power that women have to either stop a machlokas or to attempt to stop a machlokas or to continue the machlokas. As the akaras habayis, as the foundation of the nation, there is a particular power in that Bina Yisera. And it actually goes back to the first Isha, interestingly, because who, unfortunately, got her husband to sin? And I'm talking about way back in the beginning. Isha. She's not called Chava till the end of Perek Gimel. I prefer not to call her Chava at this point in the story. However, there's significance to when and why she was named Chava. She's Isha. But perhaps also, I never thought of this in my life, but perhaps also, thank you for the tissues, but perhaps also she doesn't have a name until after the sin. She's only called Isha because she is every woman who has a certain potential. She could have resisted the power of the Nachash, and I don't want to have anything to do with you, or she took and she gave it to her husband as well, and she brought them both down. And the Gemara, this piece of Gemara concludes with the Pasuk and an exposition of this Pasuk from Mishlei. Chachmas Nashim Bansa Beisa, or Chachmat Nashim Banta Beita. This is the wisdom of the woman builds the house. This is the wife of Om Ben Pelas, Be'ivelis, Be'yadaha Terasena, and the foolish woman destroys it with her hands, and this is the wife of Korach. So when we come up to this time period, when there is, Rachmana Litzlan, the commemoration of the Machlokas, and the commemoration of the Sinas Chinab, it's a positive lesson to take away, that women have a tremendous Koach, and they have a Bina Yisera, and they have a certain Chachmas Nashim that can either lead to peace and the resolution of strife, or, God forbid, can lead to increased strife. And unfortunately, in such cases, everything becomes destroyed. Now, I want to end with Thursday night, these thoughts, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Bokeh Rivim, came to me. And I didn't sleep so well Thursday night. Sometimes I don't sleep so well. Anyway, but I was excited by the following ha'aras. I thought it was really geshmak, and I thought it was really tremendous, and I'm going to share it with you. You know from learning with me that I like to focus on the shorashim of words. Right, you know that. What does this word teach us? What's the shorash? What's the contraction that I see in this word? If you change the letters around, what word do I see here? So, we're talking about machloka shehi l'shem shemayim and machloka she'eno l'shem shemayim. Sofa l'hiskayim, hila v'shamay. Ein sofa l'hiskayim, korach v'kol adaso. And we're also, I hope, not just talking about a story from long, long ago, but a story I hope we're all seeing parallels or trying to extrapolate lessons from our day and age. And in some way, each person can undertake the increased shalom between our people. So I was thinking about the word machlokas first. Okay? And the word machlokas, which I never thought about until I prepared the shir, other than the fact that it means strife, is actually from the word chalek or chalek. L'chalik. It means to apportion or to divide. You may have thought of this. I just never thought of it. I just took it for granted. Machokas is a word that means strife, and I never thought about the shoash. Maybe it's silly of me. Maybe that was nearsighted of me, but the sheer forced me to start thinking about the word machokas. It comes from the word l'chalik or chalak. It means to portion or to divide. It's very clear, therefore, that one who is embroiled in machokas is causing a divide between Jewish people, between members of Knesset Yisrael. A mechalek is one who divides. So a chelek is a portion, meaning you take yourself off. You're now a portion. You're not part of the whole. The mechalek is one who divides. Therefore, machlokas with the mem is actually called after the mechalek, the one who does the dividing. Got it? You add a mem to the beginning of the words because the mechalek is the one who divides. Machlokas is called after the one who causes the divide between people. In fact, I want to quote Rashi for purposes of this final lesson after I put my chumash away, but we spoke about when Moshe calls up Dasan and Aviram to speak to them. And the Rashi is very relevant for this final lesson. Vayishlach Moshe the Krolo Dasan Vila Aviram. We already saw the Gemara says in Sanhedrin 110a, from here you learn, you should not be machzik, says Reish Lakish in a machlokas. Vayomru lo na'ale. But Rashi says there, Mikan she'ein machzikin b'machlokas. He uses the word machlokas. You should not strengthen in a machlokas. Hayam Moshe mechazer acharei. Moshe is going after them. Lahashlimam b'divrei shalom. Lahashlimam. Now that will be relevant for machlokas. How would you translate lahashlimam, given how we already translated machlokas? Machlokas means to divide. So what would lahashlimam mean? To make it whole again. Okay? B'divrei shalom. What's he trying to do with words of peace to try and make things whole? Now, if we understand what machlokas means, and machlokas means to divide or to portion, after the mechalek, the one who causes the divide, or the apportioning, lahashlimam would mean to make things whole again. So, what would be the opposite of machlokas? What would you say if I asked you the opposite of machlokas? Shalom? Does everyone agree with that? The opposite of chelek or mechalek would be shlemus, and the opposite of machlokas would be shalom. Except that mechalek and machlokas and shlemut and shalom are really from the same shorashim, the same words. Chelek, divide. Mechalek, one who divides. Machlokas, called after the mechalek who causes the apportioning or the division. Shlemus means when things are whole again, and shalom is peace. What would be the opposite of strife? Peace. The official title of today's shir, if I want to tell it to you, is From Strife. And here we come to the climax of our shir, so to speak. From strife to peace. With courage, you need great courage, we said, to see the emes. You need great courage to be a Moshe Rabbeinu, to be a Mrs. Own Ben Pelas. And you also need sensitivity to the emes. From strife to peace. So here we go. A machlokas is after chelek, portion, mechalek, one who apportions. So now, this got even better. This I thought of like 1 o'clock in the morning. I don't know if I'm laying there not able to sleep and think about this. And sometimes those things happen. But here we go. I love this. I was like, ooh! I already said a mapil. Am I allowed to write this down? Please Hashem help me remember this in the morning. Oh, I love this. Kol machlokas shehi l'shem shemayim sofa lihitkayim v'she'en l'shem shemayim ein sofa lihitkayim ezi machlokas shehi l'shem shemayim zoi machlokas hil v'shamayim v'ezi machlokas she'en l'shem shemayim zoi machlokas korach v'kol adaso. Spoken a lot about this Mishnah. Kol machlokas, any mechalik, any division. Yeah, you with me? You got that part so far? Shehi l'shem shemayim. Think of the letters of the word L'shem and scramble them. Think of the letters of, I don't have a blackboard, L'shem. It's Lamed, Shin, Mem. Scramble those letters. And what do you get? Shalom. Shalem and Shalom. So now let's look at the Mishnah and see what Chazal is actually alluding to here. Kol machlokas shehit L'shem shemayim. Kol machlokas, where you will be Shalem. Bishalom l'shem shemaim. Of course, it's sofa lihitkayim. Hillel and Shammai were each fighting for Dvar Hashem. Hillel believed Chas Neiros, Valacha Kabesela. Hila believed you go from 1 to 8 and there's 8 candles. Shammai believed there's 8 candles, you go from 8 to 1. They weren't fighting for Hillel and Shammai, they were fighting for, Shammai believed you can teach the Torah on 1 foot, so he pushes away the potential cover. Hila believed you can teach. They weren't fighting for Hillel and for Shammai, they're fighting for Hashem. And 2,000 years later, we're still learning from Machlokas, Hillel and Shammai. I just turned on Shabbos, which I didn't know. There's a Machlokas of Hillel and Shammai, and how many strings are there in tzitzis? 6 or 8. We paskin 8. I didn't know there was a machlokas. But their machlokas was l'shem shemaim. It was for the same sake of shleimut. L'shem shalem for shalom for shemaim. Therefore, of course, l'hiskayim. Of course, 2,000 later, B'nai Yeshiva are still learning the words of Hillel and Shammai because they're fighting for God. Not for Hillel, not for Shammai. Ka machlokas shehi. Eino l'shem, eino shalem, eino shalom, because it's a machlokas of divide. You're not striving for the shlemus. Of course it's ein sof l'itzkayim. Of course it's not going to be able. Do you understand this? It's very geschmack. It's the climax to the whole shiur. It's the conclusion to everything we've spoken about. Talking so much about machlokas. Let's recap. What is machlokas? And the root word is chalak or chelak. The portion, divide. Because ultimately, what do we do when we become embroiled in machlokas? We divide Jew from Jew. We divide Jew from Jew. This one against that one, this parade on one side, that parade on the other side. We divide each other. We divide from each other. No, I can't take questions or comments. I'm almost finished. I'm sorry. I need the time. We divide between each other and we divide Jew from Jew. The Mechalek is the one who divides. The Machlokas with the Mem in front of Chelek is named after the one who divides. Korach, Dasan, and Aviram, Mrs. Korach. The opposite of Machlokas would be Shalom, which is peace. The opposite of Chelek would be Shleimut. The opposite of putting a pie into 10 different pieces will be having one whole or complete pie. If you want to go from Machlokas to Shleimut, you call up Dasan and Aviram, and you try Lahashlimam b'divrei Shalom. I'm quoting Rashi. Couldn't get better. This very Rashi says he's trying to quell the Machlokas by leading to Shleimut through divrei Shalom. So now we could understand the Mishnah, which is the basis of our Shir. Kol Machlokas Shehi L'Shem Shemaim, any Machlokas, where it is, Shalem, L'Shem Shemaim, Sofa L'Iskayim, V'Sha'enu L'Shem Shemaim. But if it's not Shalem, B'Shlemus and Shalom, L'Shem Shemaim, Ein Sofa L'Iskayim. In the end, it will not be upheld. In the end, you want to be divided, so you will be divided. You want to be different than everyone else. You want to be off to the side. You want to be your own portion. So the ground will open up and swallow you and you'll be divided from everyone else. But it gets even better. Ah! It's even better. I love it. We quoted so much from Pirkei Avos today. Kinatayv v'kavod motzi nesa adam minolam. Harchek mishachin ra. Machlokas shel shem shemayim v'she'en lo shem shemayim. Ready? I'm so excited. We begin, we just read Perek Yom on Shabbos. We begin every Perek of Pirkei Avos quoting the Mishnah. Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelak la'olam haba. Shenemar ve'amech kulam tzadikim la'olam yishu'art. We begin by saying something very interesting. Kol Yisrael, all of Israel, every person in Israel has a chelak la'olam haba. But isn't chelak a portion, but it's also a connotation of machlokas? So you should know, when do you have a chelek in olam haba? When do you get a portion of the whole? When you're kol Yisrael. Only when kol Yisrael is together, yesh lahem, that's when you have a portion of a whole in olam haba. Kol Yisrael, when you're all together, yesh, you understand? When it's kol Yisrael, then yesh lahem chelek, but you each get a portion of the eternal world to come, and each person's portion in the world to come, when your Kol Yisrael makes up the beautiful Olam HaEmes of Knesset Yisrael. Only when we are united, to use a cliche, and not divided, then we all get the Chelak in Olam Haba, because the ultimate Shleimus is Kol Yisrael. When we are, I'll do that. And then maybe, when we learn that pride is concerned with who is right, but humility is concerned, the Yishmosh Anamod Mikol Adam Mishal Pnei Adama, humility is concerned with what is right. And when we learn that we all have two lives, But the second one begins when you realize you only have one. What's our tafkid? What are we doing here? What's our end goal? What's my ticket to Olam Haba? Call Yisrael. The call of Shleimus will give me my chelach in Olam Haba. And then maybe, I don't know, maybe, Hayom im b'kol tishmu, when we learn the lessons from Korach, lo yek korach v'ka adaso, is a love. Maybe we'll be zocha to the ultimate redemption, to return to Yerushalayim, the city of Shalom and Shlemus. Thank you all, everyone. Have a wonderful day. Shavua tov and a chodesh tov.